A betrayal of victims, a slap in the face for victims, a unilateral action on a sensitive issue the Irish government strongly advised against. That's just some of the reaction to the news the British government will bring in an amnesty for crimes committed during the Troubles. Our Northern editor Vincent Kearney has the story, which came out in London overnight. Vincent, talk to us about what's being planned, and we've heard already some of the reaction from the SDLP, Sinn Féin, the Irish government in my introduction there, but also give us the context for this decision from London.
Well, in terms of context, dealing with the legacy of the past is the most controversial and sensitive unresolved political issue in Northern Ireland. Politicians simply haven't been able to reach agreement, although back in 2014 they did sign the Stormont House Agreement that brought together all the main political parties in Northern Ireland along with the British and Irish governments, and it set out a pathway to deal with the legacy of the past, although it still hasn't been implemented. Now, it included an independent historical investigations unit which would examine all unsolved troubles related to deaths and give victims sort of what they wanted, because many victims, while they don't want prosecutions, they do want to know the truth about what happened, but others do want prosecutions. Now, the idea on you of an amnesty isn't new in itself. 8 years ago, I interviewed the then Attorney General, John Larkin QC, and he said it was time, in his view, to draw a line under the past, to draw a line in the sand, because he said with each passing year, the prospect of prosecutions and convictions reduced. Now, that was met with universal anger across the political spectrum, but that sounds very like the kind of idea the British government is now proposing. She said, reported overnight after media briefings, the Daily Telegraph and the Times newspapers reporting this move is to be announced in the Queen's speech next week, claimed this legislation would introduce a ban on any prosecutions of former British soldiers for any alleged crimes, killings before the Good Friday Agreement was signed in 1998. But not only that, this would apply across the board, include former members of the IRA and loyalist paramilitary groups. That only is because a number of years ago, a Defence Select Committee of the House of Commons looked at this issue in detail. That Defence Committee recommended that there should not be prosecutions of soldiers, but it also said that legal advice it had received made it very clear that the government could not act unilaterally and only protect soldiers, that this would have to be rolled out across the board for all killings in the Troubles. Now, the Irish government has known that this has been about in terms of an idea. It has been briefed on this as a possible idea on a number of occasions. But on each occasion, the Irish government has made it very clear it's opposed to it. It remains fully committed to the Stormont House Agreement. It says anything else would betray victims, would let victims down, and would be insensitive. And it appears that the government had no advance notice yesterday that this was going to be leaked to the media in terms of possibly an imminent announcement on this very sensitive issue coming as early as next week.
Which is curious, isn't it, Vincent? Because, of course, there was the meeting yesterday between Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney and Northern Secretary Brandon Lewis. A breach of the Stormont House Agreement unilaterally by one side. The key question is, was it discussed at that meeting?
My understanding is, Anya, that a range of issues were discussed at that meeting, including legacy issues. As I said, the government was aware that the British government, the authorities, have been thinking about a number of options for dealing with legacy. So they weren't entirely blindsided, that they did have some kind of knowledge that this might be being discussed. But as I say, my understanding is it was discussed between Simon Coveney and Brandon Lewis, but the Minister for Foreign Affairs again made the Irish government's position very clear, which is it remains fully committed to the Stormont House Agreement and advised the UK authorities against any such move because, as you say, it said it was very insensitive. Brandon Lewis got on the plane after the meeting, went to London. Simon Coveney went to Brussels. My understanding is that the Irish government then found out through media reports that this has been leaked and was being talked about, being introduced, as I say, as early as next week. Now, again, my understanding is that the UK authorities at political and official level were immediately left in no doubt about the level of anger, dismay and concern coming from Dublin. As we heard earlier, political leaders here as well, Michelle O'Neill, the Deputy First Minister, Colm Eastwood, the SDLP leader were very quick to issue statements because this is a highly sensitive issue. Politicians here have been concerned, very worried that the British government might try some move like this for a number of years now because of the lack of implementation of that Stormont House agreement. Now, we've been here before. There have been reports in the past couple of years that the Queen's speech would include this kind of a move to end prosecutions for soldiers. But there is a bit of a head of steam here. As I said, there appears to have been widespread briefing, a number of major newspapers across the UK covering the story today, and an expectation that this time around the British government might be serious. So I think the Irish government will be very keen today to apply as much pressure as it possibly can on the UK authorities not to go ahead with this move.
And we'll be hearing from the SDLP leader Colm Eastwood in just a moment and from Green Party leader Eamon Ryan after eight. But two other issues, Vincent, for you. Sinn Féin replacing its Derry team. Who are they going to put in with elections next year or even sooner if power sharing doesn't survive the autumn?
That's not clear yet at this stage. All we know is, Anya, they were very keen to remove the two incumbents, Martina Anderson, former MEP, former junior minister, and Karen Mullen. They were viewed as deeply unpopular in Derry. So the party leadership, they undertook a major review of the entire party structures after they had what was a disastrous Westminster election result in 2019. The person you're going to have on shortly, Colm Eastwood, won the seat back for the SDLP with a majority of over 17,000, the largest majority ever in the Foyle constituency. So Sinn Féin realised something was wrong. They brought in what was described as a team of number crunchers. They looked at all the numbers and all the voter patterns. The feedback they got was that if these two MLAs remained in place, there was a very strong possibility Sinn Féin could lose both those seats in the next Assembly election next May. And then, of course, the big picture here, Anya, is that in that next election, Sinn Féin wants to become the largest political party in Northern Ireland for the first time. DUP only has one seat more than at this stage, so if it lost those two seats, it would make that dream impossible. But also, and very importantly, that would have put pressure on Michelle O'Neill and raised questions about her leadership. And coming just a week after Arlene Foster was forced to stand down from the DUP, it looks like Sinn Féin is taking action to sort of to nip that in the bud and try to remove any problems further down the line.
Northern editor Vincent Kearney, thank you.